So every runner has a story. When you're out on a course and you're seeing people run, every step, every gait, every style, every size, every age, every single person out there crosses that finish line, and they all have a why that they're doing it.
And that was Gretchen Schoenstein, who is joining us today for episode number 66 of the Running Anthropologist podcast. Can't wait to have you with us, and I know you're going to enjoy this episode for many different reasons, but mainly because of the force of life and gratitude that Gretchen displays in being a representative for the running community, in particular those running with illness and autoimmune disease, those coping with things lifelong that are challenges for them. She describes many analogies which are helpful, many of the things that she has built up in her running career, including running 100 half marathons over the course of her recovery journey, and what it's been like day to day. Some of the tips, the life hacks, the fun stuff, and of course, telling about her favorite half marathons through all that journey. One of my favorite interviews that I've done in this show, and you'll know why pretty quickly. Just hearing about one of the things that she shares is the turning the broken glass, the suffering, the difficulties into a new mosaic, turning the mosaic of life into something that you can give back. You can tell a lot about Gretchen from her motto, "I got you, you got this." Giving that positive message, passing it on. I hope that you'll be able to pass on this podcast to those who might be in need of a little inspiration. You can do that through whatever podcast app you're on. You can also like it, give us a rating, but mostly just pay it forward. We would appreciate it. And until then, check us out on our blog site, runninganthropologist.com, and let's get this show going. And Gretchen Schoenstein, welcome to the Running Anthropologist. So happy you could be here. Gretchen is a running ambassador for Newton Running, and she's also done some amazing things recently, including running 100 halves as a fundraiser for a really unique research institute, and tells the story of her life as part of that. So I'll just let her tell it. Thank you so much for being here, Gretchen.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. I'm really excited to join you today and hopefully share some motivation and inspiration for others.
Us too. I've been following you and inspired by you for some time now through Instagram. that's how I linked to you and read some of the articles that were written as you were doing this journey. And I guess one of the things that people should know about you is that you've struggled through an autoimmune disease for the better part of the last decade. Maybe, you know, you could just tell me to start off with a little bit about that, because that's of personal interest to me too.
Absolutely. I'm actually someone who's struggled with a lot of autoimmune diseases. I've had multiple ones diagnosed since I was a kid. And autoimmune disease awareness is constantly evolving. There are now more than 85, almost 90 identified autoimmune diseases that affect more than 25 million Americans. The idea is that, unfortunately, the way our immune systems work, once you get one, you're more likely to get a second or third. And that's me. I fit that statistic. And so I deal with Hashimoto's, and sarcoidosis is the one that you're referring to. You know, there's a different way of living your life when you're, you know, do I stay on guard? I've got to take good care of my health. Gosh, this gets tired sometimes. And that really has informed my running journey, in particular over the last 10 years, as I've tried to also navigate my health journey and the intersect of running and my health. And there's a lot that I could look back on and say, oh gosh, I could have done this if I'd been healthy or was a healthier person. But running without a doubt is something that's given me a tremendous amount of strength to keep going, even on the tough days.
That's, that is so beautiful, that motivation. And I mean, just one of your projects, the one that's taken the most time, I guess, that most people ask you about is this 100 half marathons in taking you about a decade to do. Your goal, was your goal to finish 100 halves in 10 years specifically? Or did you, how did that come about? And where does, I know that it was a part of a fundraiser for a research institute, Benaroya. Benaroya,
yeah.
And that they specifically do work on autoimmune diseases. So maybe was that part of this desire to run them, or did you just want to run them and then think of that afterwards?
That's a great question. I did not start out. I was not someone who was a runner as a kid. I wasn't really an athlete as a kid either. Quote unquote, playing softball. When you're right fielder, everybody knows what that means. When you're a kid, you're just hanging out. I didn't like running. I got side stitches. It just wasn't my thing. I tried hurdles in junior high because it was something my dad did. And I'm just not that coordinated. I got biggest klutz award when I was in sixth grade. So, this was not like inevitable for me by any stretch. And did I start out knowing I was going to run 100? Not even a little. When I first decided to start running, it was more almost in defiance to the doctors who told me I'd never run again. In 2006 and 7, when I was terribly stricken by the sarcoidosis, couldn't walk for 6 weeks, was in a hospital on a morphine drip for 8 days. And, I basically lived my life in fear and caution after that, thinking at any moment it could come back. Any pain that I had was a worry that it was flaring up. Life was different and I had to figure out a way to navigate that. And it was messy. It really was. And it threw a lot of obstacles in my life and in my relationships and my work. And come 2010, a lot of things had changed, a lot not for the better. And I was in a bit of a free fall, as I've shared many times with folks, and I just needed something to train for. And against doctor's orders, because I was still, constantly being monitored by rheumatologists and pulmonologists and all my regular folks, I decided to train for a half marathon. And as the story goes, most of my friends were like, why not just a 5K? Right? Because why go for 13.1 miles? That's, that's not nothing. And I ran one half marathon and thought, okay, I just want to see what that's like. It was just to be one. And felt pretty good at the end of it. Had a lot of, prep and recovery and all of that kind of stuff. And then decided to run a few more because that feeling of accomplishment, that feeling of feeling strong and free and capable, and just the moments of awe that happened along that first course, I was like, oh, I want more of that. Right. I felt more than this label of damaged goods, or not enough. And in that first race, I was like, holy wow, I got to do this again. So that year I did, five total, in a year. And then I'm a little bit of a numbers person. And so, the next year it was 2011. Oh, I want to run 11 and 11, which of course, yes, do the math. That means I more than doubled what I did.
I can relate to that. I can relate to that. Yeah.
Right. And you just kind of get, you're like, whoa, I want to see what this is all about. I want to see what I'm capable of and possible. And I grew this practice of gratitude, being grateful for each step. And really feeling like there was something to this running thing that I could apply to my health as well. So I did not start off planning to run 100 at all. And then when I flash forward to, I'm doing a big jump here, when I was coming up on half marathon number 50, there I had had enough experiences in those first many years of running where I wanted it to mean more than just I'm running. Like I would run into people and I'd get to hear their stories and I'd get to hear their moments of awe and their moments of accomplishment and feeling capable, and how I could help maybe either listen or help them claim whatever their finish line moment was, or embrace the messiness. And I found this organization called Operation Shooting Star off the East Coast, and their founder, Audrey Fisher, she has MS and started the organization because she had other family members that also had autoimmune diseases, and she but different ones. And so she thought, why are there not more organizations that encompass all of the autoimmune diseases? Because what if we all work together? So I came across her and I said, hey, I would love to make half marathon number 50 mean a little something more, and elevate the whole experience and have it have a broader impact for folks. So she and I got together and met. I think I was running in Philly. And then she actually made her way to Brooklyn where I was running half number 50. And I was able to raise a whole bunch of money for Operation Shooting Star at the time. And initially, we were giving our money to University of Maryland. So the whole point of Operation Shooting Star is to raise awareness and research dollars for organizations, you know, basically doing research and trying to understand better the autoimmune disease world, because it's constantly evolving and it's complicated. That's just the reality. And so a few years later, again, jumping ahead as I'm gearing up to run number 75, and I've had many flare-ups over the years where I've had to take a pause or push through and find more grit, and tell yet and again another doctor, I heard you say no, still going.
Explaining it to them.
Right, exactly. There's a difference between doctors who will take the time, or providers, any medical provider, you know, physical therapy, acupuncture, who take the time to get to actually know you and do the type of care that's catered to you, as opposed to just as a blanket statement. And that does make a difference. And I tend to rebel against the ones who just give me a template of what they think. So, in 2018, we found Benaroya Research Institute. I had attended a luncheon of theirs years earlier, and felt more at home and seen in that room than I had in other medical communities. And their whole underpinning is straight parallel with Operation Shooting Star, which is cure one to cure all. The idea being, you know, if you can find a cure for MS, is there a through line or a piece of that or 5% of it that we can pull for another disease that operates or shows up, acts in some similar ways because it's an autoimmune disease? And this is total layman's terms, but the way that I kind of picture it is that it was like somebody said, okay, all of you autoimmune diseases, get in a lab together. We're going to lock the door. Now talk. Right? And so that's really essentially what they're doing is they're sharing research, they're sharing conversation, they're sharing findings in the hope that if we find a cure for one of these autoimmune diseases, or we find progress in one of them, RA, T, you know, d type 1 diabetes, lupus, multiple sclerosis, you know, any of these, that it will help all of the others too in some way at some point. And so we've raised a lot of money for Benaroya Research Institute. I'm extraordinarily proud to be associated with them. I can't say enough good things about them. Like I get emotional every time I think about being able to talk to other people who've been diagnosed with autoimmune diseases and say, hey, guess what? There's people who care. There's people who's doing who are doing the work to try to make a real difference in this. This may not be something that we all just have to go, well, this is what I live with.
Yeah, there's something out there. There's someone out there doing this. And I too was impressed when I heard about this research institute doing the work, because like you, so many of us will bounce around to doctors and we feel very alone, very isolated by the health impact. And not only that, but by the lack of knowledge and really understanding in the medical community. And we've talked a little bit off air, but just to share out as well, I, like you, almost mirroring your experience, in 2009, I was put out of commission for almost 2 years. And one of those years, I had to get back to walking. Just being able to walk took 6 months from I was diagnosed. It took a very long time to get any kind of diagnosis. But, coming back from being next to nothing and barely able to walk or consume foods or anything like that, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, dysautonomia, and it was part of a larger autoimmune thing, like you mentioned, it's all connected, that stemmed from getting a number of vaccines at one time. And I don't get me wrong, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but in this case, my system didn't deal well with being vaccinated. And as you know, the underlying condition is there, and it just takes an event like an illness or something, putting your immune system on high alert, that can change your entire chemistry. And these are the types of things that, you know, the research is finding out, you know, why does this happen? What, you know, why do in some people a certain vaccine or a certain illness set off this barrage of autoimmune reaction? And which, of course, as you know, we're lucky to have survived from and become healthy again. But for many people, it can be a literal end of their life sentence to be diagnosed with something like MS or other diseases. It can move slowly, but eventually that will be the cause of their life ending. And for other types of autoimmune, like you say, they respond well to certain treatments and exercise to a certain extent. So I guess my, knowing from personal experience how difficult it was to come back and get back to running from that, what is your day-to-day running like for you? And has that changed over time, as you've gotten healthier? What kind of things are different for you now than when you first got diagnosed? And how has that that knowledge, you know, what kind of knowledge have you built up that may be useful to others struggling with autoimmune diseases?
Absolutely. Well, and you nailed it. Just the process of diagnosis is so maddening and frustrating and can really be deflating too. And so I think that that's important. The more people talk about that, the less alone others will feel in having gone through that, because it can start to make you feel a little confused, to say the least. And, you know, to your point, to tie that to, you know, my, you know, kind of the journey, as my journey is still evolving, is, you know, the immune system is fascinating, and all of ours react differently, as you so perfectly put it. You know, and I know, for example, I just saw my ENT and had a phenomenal, interesting conversation around the level of inflammation in my body, and just a reminder of, like, for me, I have to be careful, because the second I get any kind of an infection, there's no runway. There's no, oh, we can pull this back with some natural medicines and different things that I would prefer to do. It's like I go from 0 to 60, because there's no, I believe the way she put it was, there's no margin of error. And not a lot of people, you know, not everybody can relate to that. I get that. I mean, I'm also grateful that I've gotten to this point in my life of my health where, you know, I present as a very healthy person. But I've had to work for it. It's very intentional. It's very conscious. There is not one thing that I take for granted. Because as one of my favorite signs says on the race courses, you know, there will be a day that you cannot do this. Today is not that day. And I can feel the emotion in my chest. I remember distinctly one time in Chicago running, and that sign came up, and God, I needed it right at that moment in that time. And actually had a quick conversation with the woman holding it, and she gave me a big hug, and we high-fived, and she screamed at me, like, you got this. And it's just, that's how I, you know, that's part of the how things have evolved over time, is because I refuse to take this for granted. You know, so many people are like, oh, you've run 100 of these, it must be like old hat. And it's like, oh my God, every single one of them is unique to me. I remember all of them. Every single one is unique. I find joy in them. I make them fun. I find an intention and a purpose for each one. Purpose is huge for me. And it's been, the whole journey has been incredibly generous. For me, it's really thinking about, like, every step counts. It is, because every step is forward momentum, right? I'm not running backwards. So there's what many life metaphors, as we all know, in running, right? Like, you like looking backward, or even looking backwards while running forward, doesn't work. And so it's really, you know, one of my, I'm sure you've seen on Instagram, one of my phrases is, you know, every step is a gift, every mile is an accomplishment, and every finish line is a victory. And I really do believe that. I wouldn't keep repeating that if that weren't in my, just my DNA at this point. And for me, part of it is knowing when to rest and when to push. And that every small goals, they don't have to, like, to your point earlier, like, if I had set out and said, I'm going to run 100 when I was running my first, I wouldn't have done it. I just wouldn't. I know that about myself. And when I ran number 50, oh my goodness. Like, the amount of people I had to shut down who immediately asked, oh, are you going to run 100 now? Like, I just ran number 50. Let me enjoy that, right? And that's actually something I'm working on, and we can talk more about as we go on, is really who these last few months have been sitting with, what's after the goal. I'm not chasing numbers anymore. Now what? I've got a new motto that's come from that I can't wait to share with you. But, you know, for how I would tie this to for others working through their own autoimmune journey, whether it's diagnosis or what have you. Oh gosh, I think the first thing would just, you know, have some grace for yourself. We spend, I know I do, I spend a lot of time looking to have compassion for others and what their journey is, and a mile in their running shoes, so to speak. And God, we got to pause, right? And pause for a second and be like, wait a second, I got to give that to myself too, especially when you're facing health issues.
Definitely.
Because you don't know each day what's going to happen, right? Like, I can feel amazing today, and I can do all of the right things. This is the crazy thing about autoimmune diseases. I can do all the right things today, and I can do all the right things tomorrow, and Tuesday I could wake up and be like, I have to take a rest day, and I don't know why.
Yeah, yeah. I can relate to that too. And and you, that constant thought in your head is like, what have I done wrong? Or, you know, how did I screw this up?
Oof.
You know, and
yeah,
that is a horrible feeling. So I think you're right. Giving yourself grace is a big, important thing.
It's massive. And it's one of the things I'm starting to work on. I saw this great thing online. Somebody said, most of us aren't actually practicing self-care. We're practicing aftercare. And I was like, oh, I feel real called out right now. I need to get better at this self-care. But, you know, going back to you know, I think that there's two big things for me. One is, on the more kind of, you know, spiritual side of things, is just remembering that, like, on the other side of fear is magic. And that's kind of how I get through the little fears and the medium fears and the big fears, and ride the so-called waves of uncertainty. Because there's right, you just mentioned it, right? There's a lot of uncertainty when we're doing all this kind of stuff, and that plays into, right, think of like straight up athletes. There's all the prep and all the training that they do, and they still have races and runs that they're like, wait, I did all the right things and it didn't go well, right? Right. That's why there's DNSs for people who did not starts for people who athletes that have done brilliant jobs of prepping and did not finish. And all of these things happen. Well, guess what? We're literally in parallel with that, with our health. And then you do that crossover with running. And I think that's why this is just all has come so alive for me. And the biggest piece of advice I got around my health and my running is that I am the captain of my own ship. There is not going to be any, there will be no one else who advocates for me like me. And so I have to be the captain of my ship. Now, here's the thing for you, for me, for anybody else dealing with multiple autoimmune diseases and health complications, our ships are kind of complicated. There's a lot of floors, there's a lot of rooms, there's a lot of storms at sea. But we're still the captain of our own ship. And so we do have to be the one in charge, so to speak, which means, and this is the big lesson for me, is asking for help and building a team.
Wow. That, you know, that's a difficult balance because, like you said, you know, you got perhaps a coach, perhaps a doctor, family and friends supporting you on your team. And sometimes you can't listen to them because you know what your body can do and you want to do something. Yeah. But then other times you have to rely on them. So that's a difficult balance. How did you find that?
I have learned, or I should say more truthfully, I am learning to have a lighter touch, be a little bit more nimble, with some of these. And I follow a researcher and writer online around motivation, Brad Stolberg. And he had this quote a few weeks ago where he said, strength without flexibility is rigidity. Mm. And flexibility without strength is instability. Mm. And, you know, I can apply that literally and say, oh, well, you know, as a runner, I do a lot of cross training and I have upper body strength and core strength. And, you know, so I've got the flexibility of doing things like yoga and walking and adding to my health that way. But I also, obviously, given this conversation, can apply that to the journey that has evolved for me, as well as for anybody going through navigating complicated health stuff. And, you know, the days where you're like, I just got fatigue and I don't know why. Or the days where the doctors say, stop what you're doing, and your gut says, keep going. Hmm. And so you really, this, that goes back to, you're the captain of your own ship, right? Like, I've looked doctors in the face, you know, in the eyes, sitting at the end of my bed saying, you're not going to run number 75 in 3 weeks. I chose in that moment, I might have been on some high pain meds, and I chose in that moment to keep my mouth shut versus what I actually wanted to say to him, saying, I've got 75 behind me. What are you talking about? Look at all I've done. But I also think that, you know, to your point of the balance, I've talked with, I do have a team of folks in the past that I've talked with where I do think that there's a balance between, and I'd love to hear your perspective on this too, of like, I think for me, running 10 to 11 to 12 half marathons in a year was the right mix. It was the right balance. It kept me healthier. It kept my baseline higher in terms of being able to withstand flare-ups a little bit easier, a little bit quicker, get through them, and also maybe have fewer of them. That was the theory that we had. But there's also a tipping point where then you push your immune system too much. And so that's why, despite getting this question all the freaking time, I've never run a full, and I'm pretty sure I'm never going to. Because that may actually, to that so-called tipping point, make it so my immune system is like, whoa, 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 too much. We can't handle this. Almost kind of like that horseshoe effect where, like, healthy, now not healthy.
Yeah, no, I can totally relate to that. And I think for some people on average health that there's a balance there, but I think for especially if you're dealing with a chronic illness, and something that's going to be with you your whole life, you want to be kind to yourself and not send yourself into the red zone so you're moving backwards. So for me that is like you is very important. And the past few years I have been running able to run a marathon or two a year. In my my cardiovascular, my strength, all that is good, but as you say, it's the immune system that you have to worry about. And when it gets into hyperdrive, for me, when
Oh,
it gets
yeah.
into hyperdrive, that's what causes problems. So I've been, like you probably, I've been to doctors for Hashimoto's and for even bone doctors that said, "Oh, we think you have a form of bone cancer," and it all stems from the autoimmune system being over in overdrive and the balance of your system being off. And I think putting the body through too much stress, where like I did an ultra 1 year, and I thought, "Oh, that that's a bit much," because I found my body didn't bounce back. I was sick a lot of the time I was training. And it was just my body sending me a signal like, no, that's really too much for you. Which is fair because we're all human, we all have human limits, and to be kind to your body so that it is able to do the things you want to do is so important.
God, I can so understand and relate to that. To get to the 100, I mean, there was a big old break with COVID, and I've got my inhaler right here next to me. Got my corticosteroid inhaler that I have to take because asthma is an often side effect of or lung damage, because it's not to your it's atypical asthma. Lung damage is a side effect of sarcoidosis, and I wanted to get back to running. I took a 4 month break in 2020, which is when number 100 was going to happen. I stopped at 89. COVID happens. Everything's canceled. Stopped running for 4 months, right? My life was in the upside down like everybody else's. And then I really just started slowly running again, little bits here and there, nothing, not high mileage. But I will say, I don't want to disparage that because I had a couple of months where I was like just getting the black Sharpie out and writing R on an actual wall calendar on the days that I ran any whatever distance, just a mile, whatever. And I shouldn't say just. This is what I'm saying. Like I'm still learning. Like I will catch myself. I'm always going to stay curious and be like, how can I shift this? Because it isn't just a mile. Like for if every step counts, every mile counts, right? And when I first started running again, oh my Lord, I'll tell you that the run swagger walk that we all get, right? Like after you have a good run and you like walking a little bit and you're like, I got a little swagger in my walk. I had just as big of a swagger as I would finish that mile as I would on any half marathon. That feeling of accomplishment, that feeling of like, oh my God, I just did it. The thing that I wanted to do today to move my body, I did it and I feel amazing. And that was enough. That was absolutely enough. And I decided to then build back from there and flash forward to, the Olympics being delayed. And I went through a tough time in 2021 and in early spring where I was like, I had this, oh my God, I'm never going to be the runner I was again. Right. Having all that training, having all those years of foundation of many, many races under my belt, for, months and years, that shifted because I had 4 months of not running. I had many times where I just had stopped cross training. I was just trying to survive like a lot of people. And I went through a little bit of a depression with that because I was like, wait, I'm never going to be that again. And then I got through that and said, well, but I can be just something else. There's still more there to accomplish. It just is going to look a little different. Maybe I have to redecorate the ship, so to speak. And so I started running again, and then I got all excited because the Olympics had come back and all these great interviews talking about delayed dreams and dreams deferred and how do you get back into it? And of course, I'm not an Olympic athlete. I get that. I've got no qualms, and you know, I also found myself being able to relate to some of their interviews, which was brilliant to me. It was actually quite eye-opening that even somebody who's at those levels, I can find something to relate to, even though I'm not at that level. And I decided, oh, I'm going to run 11 half marathons in 4 months, because that seems like a great idea. And I will say, if I could do it different, in the hindsight that I have, there's a lot of things I would change.
Okay.
Those 11 and 4 months, to what we were just talking about, how hard that pushed my body. And I have dealt with my body rebelling the last few months, and back to seeing lots of doctors and, you know, being used to, you know, I mean, having to be more conscientious about how I'm taking care of my health again. Because I think, to your point, I think my body went, whoa, what are you doing? This is too much. And so I'm back to regular acupuncture. By the way, acupuncture is your friend, everybody. I'm a big fan. And, you know, and I'm back to, how do I find that joy in my running? So it's not pain or tired or fatigue, that I'm not just getting through it.
Yeah. So,
but it's been a lot these last few months, because my body went, hold on, what's happening? Why did you do 11 in 4 months? And actually I did 12 in 5 months.
Yeah. So you don't just feel like you're pounding the pavement to do so, but really with a purpose. You mentioned purpose. I'm in the field of purpose and meaning in the work that I do. And I would love, well, first of all, there's so much we've talked about. I want to hear about a few things you mentioned. One of them, you mentioned keeping a purpose in mind or having a higher purpose. I'd love to hear more about that. And I'd also like to hear more about what are some of those daily practices? You can call them life hacks. What are some of those things that have really been saving graces for you? Because I hear from you a lot about what you've learned and about dealing with a long-term illness. And I feel like a lot of people listening would benefit from even just some of the small stuff that you found has really helped.
You know, one of the things that I say to myself before every race is a reminder of, you've been here before. Everything I have is within me, and I can pivot when I need to. And that little reminder when I'm starting out is just, it just kind of grounds me and makes me say, oh, you know, I love a little bit of nervousness before something like a race or a big run. And it's that counter that it needs, right? It's that little bit of counter to say, nerves are great, and you also got this, right? And I am someone who, I try to be all in. You know, it's the be here now. It's the be super present. I'm what I call hyper curious. Like, that's one of my life hacks, is to stay curious. You know, what could happen in this moment that might give me some data or some information that could help keep me going forward, or help me learn something about my body, or give information back to a doctor that maybe I need to do. And so that's a big piece of it. I think another I gotta say, with that stay curious piece for a moment, because from the stay curious, and again, check back in with me in 6 months, this is evolving. So I'm always working on it.
Sure.
But it's, you know, the staying curious keeps me out of the need to prove anything. It keeps me in the space of staying open and staying learning, staying in what's possible and what I'm capable of. And then really claiming what I have accomplished, right? So I've spent a lot of years talking about, what's your finish line moment? The idea being that it doesn't always have to be an actual literal finish line, right? A finish line moment for me yesterday was going on a 2.5 mile run. because I am dealing with some issues. I had a fall a week ago while running. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's going on with my body, where the breakdown is. Like I said, dealing with some inflammation issues. Right. And so my finish line moment is I completed a 2.5 mile run yesterday, and I was conscious during it of, okay, where is this hurting? What mile at this point? So that I can relay that information back to the people who I'm trying to now build a team with. Because again, one of the things I've learned after 100 is, could you stop doing things by yourself? Could you stop doing things alone and ask for help? And so the life hacks of even on those tough days is like, what's your finish line moment for the day, for that moment? And the irony of the other one is breathe, right? And irony for me is because I've got damaged lungs, but that just makes me more kind of like the fact that it makes me more conscious of my breathing and not taking anything for granted and looking for those moments of awe of, oh my God, I wouldn't have seen that if I hadn't gone on the run right then, right now. If I hadn't gone on that 9 a.m. run, I wouldn't have seen those two birds playing over in that fountain or whatever it might be. Or I wouldn't have run into the deer, or I wouldn't have had that high five with that other solo runner, right? And I try to stay present in the adventure of it all. And, you know, certainly, I mean, I'll say that having fun with numbers is also great, not just chasing numbers, but, you know, ooh, can I get 2 seconds faster? 2 seconds isn't a super long time, but if you're like, oh, I wanted to run that in 24 minutes, 59 seconds is a lot more fun than 25 minutes and 2 seconds, right? And you're just like, ooh, let me play with that, right? And you just like, again, it's that lighter touch, that nimble touch that I am finding. Not past tense. I'm in it right now. I'm finding it feels more possible. I keep going back to that. Like what's more possible? And I think it's if there's one thing that I'm kind of experiencing right now in terms of my own running and what's enough and where's next is this phrase that I'm just embodying right now is breaking glass to build a mosaic.
Wow, I love that.
And right, I mean, I'm just like, I'm taking everything I've learned over the last 100 halves and I'm kind of throwing it up in the air and seeing what I can make of it.
Breaking glass to build a mosaic. How do you think about that? Like, what does that mean to you?
It means a number of different things. I'm rethinking the concept of my resiliency. I'm rethinking what does grit mean, right? Because I have gone through moments where I feel like I've got no, as I say, no more grit to mine. There's nothing left there. I'm digging for a grit and I can't find it. So what does that mean? And what does it mean to be resilient? Is it serving me in this moment? And breaking the glass of like, am I, you know, what's enough? What's half marathon mean? What does running mean? Like I'm right now facing probably a couple months of no long distance running. Does that mean I stop running? And already the answer is no. And maybe the answer is rest and healing while still running. And maybe working on my form, because I've now got new information because I'm now working with people who have my back, that my form changed after number 89 because of taking a break and then because of pushing my body so much. And so it's like I might actually need to step back and learn all over again. And like I can't even tell you the enthusiasm I have of like, oh, I get to learn something and change what I've been doing to maybe get better at what I've been doing. I don't know, maybe I'll become a fast 5K-er and then bring half marathons again in 6 months. You know, there's a freedom. I think part of the breaking glass is I've run 100. I really hope at this point I got nothing left to prove. Right? And it's just, it's it's kind of being in this fun space of being grateful for what's come before. And also, if I can do that, what else can I do? And then going back to what, you know, we talked about the rigidity, I don't want to be rigid about, well, I've learned all of this in my 100s, and so this is the way things are. I know from a health perspective that my body is constantly evolving and my health journey is constantly evolving. So if I apply so much of what I learn in running to my health, maybe I want to apply so much of what I learned from my health journey also to my running.
Yeah, that's really, no, that's a beautiful statement, Gretchen. And by the way, when I say Gretchen, I think many listeners know my daughter is also named Gretchen. So every time I say it, I get this little like,
that's so, awesome. So nice. There's not a lot of us.
So nice to say your name. Yeah, no, there's not. There's really not. And it's funny that we would meet and be able to talk about this. My daughter's getting into running. And as you talked about those healthy practices, about learning what you can apply from running to life and from life to running, in particular the difficult stuff, I think about her and I think about obviously me growing up. I guess the question I'm thinking about is if you could give a practical example of that. I know for me, for example, one of the things I, similar to your mantra, I like to think about how slowing down, walking, noticing things as I run, slowing down to walk when I run, can relate to the pace at which I work, which is usually pretty intense, like on deadlines or whatever, you know, whatever it is I have to get done. And how can I slow down and walk? How can I stop and notice the beauty and the gifts of what I've been allowed to do? So that, you know, that's one thing that I think about. What is something that you think about that transfers?
I want to have like a whole nother hour talking about that.
And I don't know, what you do for a living either. So I, you know, I'm totally flying blind here.
No, I love it. I love it. I mean, it is right. It is, there is so much that you can apply. And I think it is one of the things, there's many things. One of the things is what's the outcome that you're looking for and how do you work backwards from that? Hmm. Right. So that the outcome guides you. So I go into races knowing what my outcome is. This is a fun race. This is a race I'm supporting somebody else. This is a race that I've got a time in mind. This is a race that is just testing out my body. Whatever I go into with that intention, then I work backwards from that. And it helps guide me mile to mile. Right. And so I think of that the same way with work, right? Is it's like, what's the goal of this meeting? What's the goal of this quarter? What's the end result? What's the outcome that we're aiming for in this relationship, you know, between a manager and a direct report, or how are you building a team? So I think there's so much there. And also the pausing to recognize what has been accomplished. I do that with running, and I think you can absolutely apply that to the work life and frankly to life, from the standpoint of like, hold, you know, let's take a pause here and assess rather than just be this hard charging, anything goes, and then you got to pay for it or repair it or recover afterwards. Right. So it's going back to that, almost that, you know, self-care versus aftercare.
Sure.
But you know, I mean, and I don't know, I think there's so many different things that I think about. I think the other piece of it is one of my own personal mantras that I apply to everything is progress, not perfection.
Mm-hmm. That's a great one.
That's running, that's leadership, that's work, that's life, that's anything. And it is about it, you know, it's that continued movement forward, right? Every run, every step makes me a little bit stronger, if I'm intentional about it. You know, because the reality is even tough runs right now, no run is as painful as what my body has been through. I will always be able to run one way or the other.
I'm sure you've had some memorable, you know, each race, like you said, is a different lesson, a different goal. You're in a different space in your life through the training and the race itself. And I would be interested, and I'm sure many listeners would as well, Which of all those races, because I know, like you said, it's always personal, it's always unique for its own reason, but what race or races would you share that were really something special, whether for you personally or just remarkable because of the culture, the location, the people involved, anything you want, any stories you want to tell?
Oh my goodness. It's funny because there's some cities I've raced in that those particular races don't exist anymore. They're just not put on anymore. But I know these cities still have other types of races in them, and so I've got to give a shout out to Portland, Oregon, a beautiful city to run in, and Vancouver, BC. Seattle. I just realized I'm doing the Pacific Northwest,
Which is where you are right now.
which is where I'm at right now. But in one super unique one that I did was it's a 3-day race in Lake Tahoe, California. It's three halves and 3 days all around the lake, so three different courses. That one's called the Tahoe Trifecta, and then there's the Tahoe Triple, which is I can't even wrap my head around it. It's three marathons in 3 days. But Tahoe is just a stunningly beautiful and unique area of the world, and I like to try to find places that have those awe moments, right? Where it's just like, oh my God, I'm here, I get to run here. And that's one of the things that I love about these races is because I don't know if this is 100% literally true, but this is how I like to think about it, is that who's ever planning the course, there's got to be a handful of local folks who are basically thinking about it from the standpoint of how do I show off our city or our area? And so I get to run in areas that show me parts of that city, that landscape, that community that I would never see if I weren't on that course. And I'm beyond grateful always for those experiences. And so, sure, I might have, been to LA, run, been to San Diego, or, even like Montreal or Chicago, but I get to either take over streets that you wouldn't get to take over because you're normally a pedestrian and those are just where cars go,
That's
or
right,
you get
yeah.
to see a perspective of the city or area that you wouldn't get to see, but for them opening those roads. That happened in Tahoe. That's happened. I mean, we've taken over bridges in Chicago, the Bay Bridge in Oakland. Like, I love that. That just is, it makes me fall in love with the city in a whole different way.
Yeah,
I'm a big
I
fan
can
of Philly.
relate. Oh,
Highly
Philly.
recommend running any race you could. Well, I'm born in Philly. My heart's in Philly. Born in Philly, raised in Seattle, live in California. Philly is one of the best running cities, I will say. Like it's like for a running city, it's the East Coast to me. I hope nobody like throws anything listening to this. To me, Philly is the East Coast version of San Diego for a running city.
All right.
And I love San Diego. I love running in San Diego because it's like everybody just comes out and cheers you on. It's like a big old party. Denver is cool because it's a good old test if you don't live at altitude.
And beautiful views again, beautiful
Beautiful
views.
views, beautiful views. I you mentioned off air DC. I think it is one of the most beautiful places I've ever run. I love that kind of thing. I love old architecture and history, and so my head's on a swivel with every mile in DC. And then culturally, NOLA, running in New Orleans, sorry, is again, you get to go through areas and neighborhoods that you'd have to, as a tourist, maybe get on a bus to go through, and this tour takes you there. And then I'd be remiss if I did not give a big old shout out to Savannah, Georgia. That's a perfect example of if it weren't a race, I probably never would have found myself going to Savannah, and now I've run it probably 4 or 5 times
Is that
because I'm
right?
going there specifically to run it. It is a stunning city. The history there is endless. I always can only pick one thing when I'm there because there's so much to see and to do.
I'll have to add that one to my race calendar. I'm in Florida, so it's
Oh, you got to.
nearby.
There's one. I know for sure there's one in November. I couldn't more highly recommend it. Plus, oh, by the way, you just ran a half marathon, so you get to eat all the amazing food in Savannah. Feels real good. Like those shrimp and grits, there's nothing like it in Savannah after a race. And I'm really lucky because one of my dearest and best friends surprised me for my 100th with this big giant wood art block piece of all of the cities
Oh,
that I've
wow.
run my 100 in, and
Wow.
it's up on my wall, happens to be next to a world map, so kind of perfect. I had no idea she was doing it, and to see all of those cities wrapped up there with my own personal mantra of every step is a gift, every mile an accomplishment, and every finish line a victory, to see that all up there, it's just, that is like, that's one of the, when the movers come, I'm making them put a lot of extra bubble wrap on that.
I can only imagine. So it's like a life-size United States map with wood engraved. Is that kind of what it is?
Well, I have a map of the world, like on a canvas print next to it. And then next, what she did is this big, is probably, God, I want to say 4x2,
Okay.
heavy wood block print, with all the cities. I think it's about 33 that I've run. So see, I didn't do the like run 50 and 50 type of thing.
Right.
Or run all 50 states. We all have our goals. We all have our things that we're driving towards. And those all work, whatever works for you. Yeah, I just, and speaking of cities, here's the beautiful freedom that I have now, having run my 100. I get to now pick any city that I just want to run in. I don't have to run for numbers anymore. And I didn't realize how much I was doing that the last few years until now. I am trying to get to 105 because I want to give a huge shout out to Newton Running Shoes, because when I run number 105, that will be 100 straight in Newtons. And I don't know that there's a
Wow.
lot of people out there that can say that they've only run in one brand for 100 half marathons.
No, and much less a brand that's not like, one of the big three or whatever. It's a less
That's
common one,
true.
so.
That's true. So that's my last thing to shoot for with numbers. They're a company that's out of Boulder, Colorado. So number 5, 105 will be somewhere in Colorado. Got to get healthy first. But then after that, I get to just, hey, where's the city where my friends are? Where's the city that I want to go check out the course that I've never been to? Where's a city that has a special meaning to me? Maybe friends or family showed up there, and that kind of thing. And so I'm excited to be able to do that and just get to practice staying curious and open about the city that I get to run in, as well as, like, that's just it. I get to run.
I love that. And I can totally relate to your because I too, like you, I have some favorite races. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I could travel and try to hit that every state goal, which is a really cool goal. But I love the idea of building community, seeing people again, having that relationship with a certain race. So that's been a blessing to me through the years, through my running career, and I can completely relate to that. And by the way, a few of those places are on my bucket list. So when you get ready to do the Boulder 105, you let me know. I'll do my best to help you and meet you there, do some fundraising or whatever it is you're doing for it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah, and this—I mean, I'm really waking up to this idea that I'm not doing this alone, and that this is really a—it is, like you said, it's a community, and people are pretty phenomenal when you both ask for help and also say, "I don't want to do this alone anymore," and you start building this real team of people who. It's really powerful when people got your back.
Sure is.
I always say to people, I said, everybody says I love you is the three most powerful words. I would posit that I got you
I got
is
you.
that's very positive, very powerful words as well.
That's so beautiful. So, a couple of fun questions. Oh, before I move on to those last couple, I wanted to say, You are always welcome at Gasparilla. I know we talked about that, but I wanted to say it. It's a great half. We only have a half in
Oh,
Tampa. You're welcome at Gasparilla. Meb is always there. I know you love Meb. And so you're very welcome to join us here in Tampa for the Gasparilla half.
when is that?
It's always in the spring. I think it's March. It's usually the last weekend in February, I believe.
Okay, I'm putting it on my calendar. I love
Yeah.
it. Thank you.
I'll send
I
you
will
an
take you
invite.
up. Careful what you offer.
We will host you. We'll show you around. Can't wait to have you. So on that
That's
note,
awesome.
you've ran in all different climates, all different places. You've been around the US a lot. What is your favorite healthy routine for pre-race, post-race food or other practice? What is the thing that has really worked for you?
I have a, some people think this is wild. I wake up 3 hours before a race to eat. I have found from a gut standpoint, that's the smartest thing for me to do. And I always have a banana, and I got a big shout out. Not an ambassador, but the Honey Stinger gluten-free peanut butter bar.
Oh, yeah, honey stingers are great. I agree.
Yeah, and because it's gluten-free, and I love the gluten-free waffles too, because with Hashimoto's, I have to be gluten-free. So that's an additional piece to all this, right? Everyone's like, let's go for a big carb dinner. I'm like,
That's right.
no.
I'm in the same boat. Gluten-free,
Right?
soy-free, mostly dairy-free too. So
Yeah,
all
and
that
I mean,
stuff.
God, I wouldn't go back. I actually feel better, following those pieces of the doctor's orders, so I'm happy to do that. So I wake up 3 hours ahead, and I have my gluten-free peanut butter bar, my banana, and my fun little thing that I like to do is I like to abstain from coffee for a week before a race. So
All right.
the coffee that you have in the morning, I learned that trick a long time ago. And it's not easy, especially before COVID when I had a crazy work schedule and I'd be, middle of no, not middle of nowhere, but middle of the night for me, because it was 6 a.m., on the East Coast. I'm like, it's
Sure.
3 a.m. I need my coffee. I'm like, I'll drink tea. It's not the same. But I'll have my first kick of coffee that morning as well. I'm a little less fun immediately after a race just because it does, I am so fully present when I'm running, that it takes everything out of me. And so I got to check in with my body a little bit. Oftentimes, while other folks are out celebrating, I'm often the one taking a nap.
Yep, I can
I would
relate.
say out of 100, I think it's less than 10 that I haven't napped afterwards, if I'm looking back. And then it takes a minute for my whole system to calm down. I'm always impressed by folks who are like go out for a big brunch right after or a couple hours later. I'm like, I don't have my appetite yet. But I do like, I mean, even after all of these races, you think I'm not finding a way to celebrate every single one of them? Oh, absolutely.
Even
There's
if
just, you've got to mark it, right? You got to mark the occasion. You got to acknowledge it. You got to, I mean, as a runner, you know this, right? Like you sit down with another runner after a race and y'all are talking about that hill that was around the corner on mile six and everyone else at your table is like, what are you talking about? I love it. That's part of it. That's part of the whole experience.
Heck yeah. Yeah, you're right. Even if that was just a reprieve, to enjoy that talk and then to allow yourself to bonk, to rest, to crash, to take the week off before you start thinking about what's next, which I have to ask you this because it's a necessary question, but I don't want to ask it in the traditional way, like what's next? What are you going to do next? That's superficial, but to ask, what is your heart yearning for in the future? What are you really looking forward to? It doesn't have to be running, just what's on your horizon that you really are excited about?
I think there's some big changes coming up for me. I like I said, I'm really embracing this break glass to make a mosaic, and I'm speaking of applying life to running, running to life. That absolutely is what I'm looking at right now. I've been a lot of changes, and and so this you know, it's not too late, I'm not too old, like, what's next? I'm really trying to embrace that, but I'm doing it different than I've done it before, which is asking for help, creating a team, not doing it in isolation. So really that's a big piece of it, in is breaking glass to make the mosaic. And I think, like I said to you before, and again, like, this is why, like, let's check in again in a few months, because I'm really in the space of what comes after the goal, right? I've even though I didn't set out chasing 100, I have spent the last 10 years in this container of eventually I'm getting to 100, whether I was aware of it initially or not, but I was. And so there's a little bit of a letting go of that identity, which is not easy. And we all shed our identities multiple times in life, as things change and life evolves. But I really am dealing with that right now. I'm really kind of in that space, and I'm trying not to make it heavy, more just be with it for now, and not create an expectation of what it's supposed to mean. You know, but I'm a little bit in this middle space of, like, I've had people in the AI community like, oh, you're so healthy, I can't relate to you, too healthy, but I'm also not an elite runner, I never was, right? And so I'm trying to figure out, like, what is my identity now? I've run 100, what do I do with that? I want to do something with that. I think that's probably what's next, is what do I do with the 100? What do I do with everything that I've learned? How do I use it to be of service and to help others? Can I? What in there can I do with that? Including, you know, I want to raise more money for Ben Arroyo. I want to keep that front and center because I'm continuing to learn. But really that this kind of juggling the space, or maybe balancing this, I'm here for a reason. I ran 100 for a reason. What comes after the goal? And in that, how do I break glass to make, maybe a better way to put it is, make a new mosaic?
Oh, wow, that's a beautiful, beautiful way to think about it, and a great way to finish our conversation. I think I want to give you space. If obviously there's any shout outs you want to give, I will definitely re-go through and post links to everything that you've mentioned up to this point. But anything else you'd like to share before we finish up here?
I just have to share my gratitude. I really appreciate you reaching out to me. This has been so fun, and it's actually it's a really good practice for me to have sat down and try to think through. This has been an actual gift for me, just doing the prep, thinking about it all, and being able to reflect back and remember some of these races. Like, I've had many years where I made a choice to, every time I saw a camera, not from a camera standpoint, but I wanted proof of me smiling while running. And I have so many photos of pure actual joy while running. And that's such a beautiful reminder of, I can have joy and have fun even while doing something difficult, even while doing something hard. You know, people talk about getting out of your comfort zone. And I'm like, you think there's anything comfortable about running 13.1 miles? Like, if anybody knows how to hang out in the discomfort zone, yeah, I'm your girl. Right? But to find the joy in that at the same time, they don't have to be mutually exclusive. And so it's just, this has been such a gift that you've given me. You don't even know. And I'm very grateful to you for this opportunity. And if anybody's in the Seattle area, my acupuncturist, Ben Dorfman at Seattle Acupuncture and Coaching, is, speaking of a gift, he's brilliant at what he does. He's an intuitive healer as well. I had a 3-year hip issue. Within the first 2 sessions of seeing him, it was gone. He's brilliant from that standpoint, and also a runner. Obviously Newton running. I've got, what am I, 98 half marathons in their shoes, so 103 overall. You know, Honey Stinger, I love my Science and Sport gels, again, because, you know, autoimmune, oftentimes we have gut issues, So I have to be real careful about what I use on a race, and I found that Science and Sport gels are fantastic, also gluten free. Then I also, oh, and Rudy Project, they're my glasses, because I have to, because I've got, I had this, some vision issues from sarcoid, and so I'm able to get a prescription in my Rudy Project sunglasses, so big shout out to them. And then any physical therapist, any yoga teacher, anybody who does this work, and you know, like there's a group down in San Diego, Ascension Performance. If you're down there, highly recommend looking them up. And then my last, in addition to my dear family and friends who have stuck by me, and have my back, and kind of the collective we got you, is also in particular my friend Audrey Fisher, who founded Operation Shooting Star, which led the certainly the set the fundraising portion of the second half of my 100, and the money we've been able to raise for Benaroya Research Institute, who I got to interact with in DC because their special events project manager, she was running her very first half marathon,
Wow.
and they've written a number of pieces on me, and you know, just that being able to see somebody else cross their finish line the first time and do it and have it mean that connection to Benaroya was really powerful. So I like all of this, the foundation of this is Operation Shooting Star and Benaroya Research Institute. They do phenomenal work, and you know, they're imagine one day, Mark, like, you know, maybe they got an answer for all of the different things that folks like us face, because they were talking to each other and because they were trying to make a difference.
Yeah, what a vision. And Gretchen, the gratitude is all ours. I can't tell you how grateful I've been to have you sharing out today. And you put forth the question of what am I giving? Well, I know that you're giving just by being you, and it's going to come naturally for you. Whatever you do next, you're going to keep contributing. So I'm grateful for you for all you've done for running culture. And that you will do, and that you are right now. Thank you again, and I wish you happy running.
Thank you so much, Mark. I look forward to seeing you in Gasparilla.
Me too. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Bye
Take
bye.
care.
And thank you everybody for joining the Running Anthropologist podcast today. It was a wonderful episode, and I hope that you and yours indeed have a season of happy running. Going into the summer months here in the Northern Hemisphere, we are looking forward to some beautiful training, some great outdoors time, and of course, looking forward to spreading that happiness, a little bit of inspiration in our running community, because all we really have is today. So let's get out there, and as Gretchen said, I got this, you've got this, I got you. Some words to live by. And as always, please share out our Running Anthropologist blog site and share out the podcast. Give us a like and follow our podcast, whatever app you're on. We'd love to hear from you. If you have inspiring people, ideas, things that you have come across in your running community or in your running as you travel, we'd love to hear about those corners of running culture. Until then, wishing you and yours happy running and can't wait to see you next time.